This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
If you've got problems with girls or killed yourself in a Starbucks, tell me, diva, now when did you last let your cheese be seized? There's a couple of dudes. One of them is a chipmunk. Email them with your problems, but get ready to be teased. If I were you, Amir and Jake will help you through. Whether they tell you no, or where to go, or say you're only beefing.
If I were you,
Jake's dad is a ghoul. Get put on blast by seeds to jewels. They'll tell you how to feel when things get real. So send an email to If I Were You show@gmail.org.
Best song ever. Best song ever.
That was good.
That
I was laughing.
Best song ever.
Two dudes from Perth, Australia, of a Dixieland jazz band called Beans Boomas Boys of Rhythm. But you can plug our brand new podcast, Beanstalk, the world's first and only annually released podcast.
Nice. Bad business model. I appreciate you.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. Can we get the Jasmine verses?
He says it's a cheesy 90s R&B cover of A Whole New World from Aladdin. So that's why it sounded a little different. But they had good voices.
Yeah.
I like the part where he goes, Jake's dad is a gourd, absolutely a pumpkin. I might do a musical.
What do you mean?
I might do one of the, because
so
there's
think
a lot
this
of
guy
cash
did,
in that.
Oh. You're inspired by him in one way, but then more so you want to make your own musical for your own cash?
Because if I did Aladdin, they'd have to pay me to use it.
That's not how it works.
That was Cam and Tom are the names of those boys. So thanks, Cam and Tom, for writing that
from
awesome
Perth.
Theme song from Perth, Australia.
It's been a minute since we've been to Perth.
Yeah, it's one of the most isolated cities in the world, so it was hard to get to.
Yeah.
Because you got to fly to Australia, and then you have to fly across Australia.
Yeah.
Or as I call it, Across-stalia.
Why do you call it that?
Because it's a combination of the two words that I said.
Across in Australia?
That's right.
Well, it's sort of a full across.
Across Australia.
It's not really a mix of the two words because you have one full word in there.
Across Australia. That's what I should have said.
Oh, like across Australia.
Yeah, across Australia.
Yeah, I guess.
The portmanteau. Across Australia.
Yeah, fine.
Which is the name of my song, my musical.
That's the Aladdin and Jasmine ripoff that you think they'll pay you for?
Yeah, well, it doesn't have to be an Aladdin and Jasmine. It's easy to come up with a musical because most of them are the same.
All right, go ahead. Come up with one.
It's a fucking... I'm not trying to like do it super quick, but
you
it could
are,
be anything.
Sorry, you said it's easy to come up with...
A house where the garage is the mouth. So it's called House Mouth. So, and the first song can be introducing the character.
By the way, first off, bad idea. Second of all, go ahead.
The song's the easiest part. Once the song's you have the story. Easiest part.
It sounds like you really struggled with the concept.
No, I don't. It's the
house
easy...
mouth?
House mouth.
Where the mouth of the house is the garage, which is traditionally on the far side of the house.
Yeah, side mouth, house mouth. So the first song, obviously this is like just the first stupid idea, so it won't be that good.
Idea. It hasn't been so far.
Even so far, it would probably be off-Broadway, because a lot of this shit is experimental. It would be off,
never on Broadway.
It would be like... Because the first song, you know, is like happy and cool, and it like introduces you to the premise of the musical.
Yeah.
So
it would
be like, hey, hey, I'm a house. Garage is my mouth. Hi, hey, ho, he, hum, hum. And then like you'd
introduce.
There
were like 9 words in the whole song. And then you went, ha, he, hum.
Because at that point, you introduce a new character.
The first line just says what the movie's about.
Like, you're laughing at me, but you're wrong. So like people listening are going to be like, I get that. That was a good song. I don't really appreciate Jake laughing. And they're going to be really pissed at you, actually.
They will.
Because the next verse introduces a really cool character.
Go ahead.
Who? I'm just saying, I'll have to come up with one. You can't do it on the spot.
You can't. I agree. You're very bad on the spot. I don't know why you're like saying this is bad.
By the way,
you're also defending it.
The like, bad guy is multi-layered.
That's a good thing for a bad guy to be, but you haven't thought of him yet.
Well, I'm just saying he's not even.
You haven't even thought of the second character yet.
So I'm just saying. So he like works at a charity, which is kind of interesting for the bad guy, and you meet him.
Who is the bad guy in a movie where it's the main character is a house that has
clicker,
a garage for him?
The clicker.
And he works at a charity.
Well, yeah. Now that I say it out loud, it's like we have to figure out how to get from A to B. But yeah, he's a clicker.
Well, who's the love interest?
This is so easy, and it's hard to put me on the spot.
How could it be both? How could it be both easy to come up with and hard to be on the spot?
Because it's hard for most people, but for me it's easy because it's a fucking tree. It's a tree that lives next to the house.
Honestly, it should be easier than you're making it. If I'm going to buy into the premise being a garage with a house with a garage for a mouth.
See, it sounds like you're not even listening.
Like I am. You're stalling. You're stalling, you're making like a big whole meal out of everything, and then you're naming like the obvious other characters.
And then, you know how every time there's like a love song between the two, so like A Whole New World could be an example of that.
Yeah.
So, but in my musical, obviously I can't use A Whole New World.
Yes, that is obvious.
Right, because that song is already a thing.
It's taken.
Right, it's taken, exactly.
So you have to have a new song.
Yes.
And I imagine you think that is really easy.
Yes,
to come
it's
up
easy,
with.
But it's hard because I'm doing it on the spot. But for me, it's not that hard.
It's easy, and then it's hard because you're on the spot. But for you, it's not hard.
And now I'm like nervous, so like I might feel like my singing
is off. So it is hard for
off.
You to be on the spot.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not hard for me to be on the spot. It's hard for most people. And I'm nervous, so my singing is starting to turn like a little fucked. But
go ahead. What's the song? The love song between the tree and the house with the garage for the mouth. Before their love gets interrupted by the bad guy.
A whole new tree.
You said you weren't going to be able to rip that song up.
It's all right. No, I'm just like, that's how I get my singing.
That's not even
character.
Expanding any, like A Whole New Tree. Is it that the tree is also a character?
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Right. See, this is a new love song, right?
Is
between
it?
No,
what
I'm gonna
say.
What
you did was an old love song.
That was me fucking finding my note.
You only changed one word.
Do you know how to like tune a guitar? That's what I do with my voice, because I'm gonna be doing the voices for this shit.
I hope not. Go ahead.
Okay.
What's the song?
You think you could sing better than me, you piece of shit? All right, ready? Sorry. Reminder for me to cut that. Ready? Who is there? Who can it be? It. Why are you fucking laughing?
Is this a song?
Yes.
Is this a song?
Some songs start with people talking.
Okay.
And by the way,
that... Sorry, is this you as the tree?
No, it's not me as the tree. It's me as the fucking moon. Okay? Who plays the comedic relief character? Remember the fucking gargoyles in Lion King? There's gargoyles in The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
You said there were gargoyles in Lion King.
And there's Timon and Pumbaa in The Lion King. It was my full sentence before you cut me off.
Okay.
So in this character, in this moon, sorry, in this film adaptation of a musical that I'm writing, which, by the way, is about a moon.
You said it was about the house.
That's your way into the story. But remember in Aladdin how it's like this guy who's like, come here, come close. Ah, that's too close.
Yeah.
So that's the garage.
It feels like you're just... Oh, so the garage is the... That's not even a character.
Yes, it's the way in.
So why give him a mouth?
The way in. Because he has to talk. All right, so this is the love song between the moon...
And the tree?
And the tree. And the tree.
So how's the clicker still the bad guy?
You'll see.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, now I'm like kind of confused because I had to fucking baby feed it to you.
Well, you shouldn't be this mad when you're doing something creative.
Who is there? Who is eat? Eats the tree. It's the me. Ooh, and I'm the moon.
Why do you feel like this song needs to, like, a whole new world. Like, let's use some one of your examples.
Yeah.
Aladdin isn't like... A whole new Jasmine.
Yes.
And I'm Aladdin and we're on a carpet.
Yes, that would help because then you can listen to that song and sort of get what's going on.
That's the real shit. That's like what's happening. And then there's like an artistic take on it.
Got it.
Like they're going through a ride. And so he says, I'm showing
you. But he says, on a magic carpet ride. Right. They do that. So your note, by the way, which I actually did have about Aladdin, a lot of their songs are kind of hard to follow. Like, Never Had a Friend Like Smee. I didn't get that one.
Never Had a Friend Like Me.
Right.
It's the genie singing about himself. But he's never like, and I'm the genie, and I'm the genie, and you're Aladdin, and I'm your friend. Like, that's the kind of song that you're pitching over there.
Because I feel like you wouldn't, if I just went into it straight and I was like, who's in love with you? Or whatever the fuck. Like, you wouldn't get it.
That one sounds way better. Okay. Like, that's not thinking about
that
it at
way,
all.
By the way, that was the second verse of the song. Really? So when you say that sounded way better, it's because the songs get better with time.
It feels like you're
just
saying that now.
No.
It really does.
It doesn't.
It feels like you're saying that right now.
It doesn't sound like that. And then there's usually a thing at the end where, like, all the songs come together. And that's, like, really complicated for most people.
I imagine it's not for you, but it is because you're on the spot.
It is because I'm on the spot, but it's not that hard.
On the spot. Yeah, like, exactly. So like the crescendo of all of the songs.
Right. It would be like
the medley.
Yeah, that's exactly the medal. So he's like...
said exactly and then didn't say what I said.
So the moon's like, in your sky, in your eye, and I'm the tree, and I'm the guy, and in your eye, it's a tree, it's me.
The moon is also the tree?
No.
It sounded like the moon was the bad guy in that song.
The clicker's the bad guy.
Also, in The Lion King, Scar has the bad guy song.
Yeah, I always left the room for that because it kind of scared me.
The Mufasa one?
Be prepared.
Oh, be prepared. Yeah. But you know the song.
Yes.
Anyway, does the clicker have like a bad guy song?
It's a good song too. It might be the second best song that I've written so far for it.
What do you think was the best one?
The best song was the medley.
The one that you just sang?
Yeah.
Just the moon's in your eye, and I'm the guy.
I'm the tree. Exactly.
Okay, sure. So what's the clicker?
Well, the clicker is...
Actually, let's rewind it even a little, just one step back, because the clicker, you said, is the bad guy, but the moon is the good guy, and the tree is the love interest.
And the garage door is the way in, slash main character.
Like in Aladdin's Jafar wanted to be the most powerful genie
which is a really cool,
or like the Sultan, yeah,
that's like a Scar, cool, interesting goal for him.
Right. Scar wanted to be, he thought that he should be the king.
Yes, but, exactly, every bad guy sort of needs a journey, and for him he's the hero of the story,
right?
But he's not really, he's actually the anti-hero.
So, and for you, the moon, I almost understood it when like the clicker was the bad guy and the,
because he wanted to keep that mouth shut.
That made sense.
That's
in a way.
Cool.
But now that the moon is the good guy and the garage door or the mouth of the house is just an ancillary character that only sort of like introduces the movie.
Correct.
What's the clicker's
the clicker's
goal?
Role?
Yeah. What's the vision?
His quest, his journey, which is actually really interesting.
Feels like you're stalling.
Is to, like, because he can only, right? He's a clicker, so he can only click. So he's looking for that next, like, that, like, accidentally shuts off the main house.
What?
Like, you know how garage is you know how garages open and close?
Don't talk to me like I'm stupid.
Do you know how doors open?
Yeah, and your clicker is looking for the next click?
No, my clicker is looking for the next door to close.
So he's done with the garage, and now he wants to move on to bigger and better doors.
No, you idiot. He's still working on the door.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, kid. You know how if you're here, sorry, I feel like I'm explaining this to a four-year-old. If you're here and you click, your garage door won't open or close because you're, you know why? Because you're too far away.
Right. I know why. I do know why.
So he's trying to get to the door.
Stop pretending that you think that you're explaining to a four-year-old, but you're not. I'm 32, and I've gotten everything that you've done so far.
Okay. Okay. So you get it. So the clicker's trying to get within radius of the door.
The clicker didn't start within radius of the door.
Exactly.
And it wants to get within radius of the door. How the fuck does the moon come in? Why do their stories intersect in any way?
It's the nighttime. So the moon's
what?
Out. So the moon's out.
So how? What? So then he should enjoy that the moon is out.
The fact that we're talking about it, I feel like, is just evidence of the fact that there's a lot going on.
And there's
here.
What's the movie fucking called?
Down.
Why?
D-A-U-U.
D-A-U-U?
That's the name of the house. That's the address.
You said that the movie wasn't even about the house.
It's the address of the house.
I know. You said it wasn't about the house.
Yeah. It's not about the house. It's where it takes place. Have you ever heard of a movie called like...
It takes place at the house, but the clicker's too far away from the house. So how does it take place at the house?
Like Reno 911 is about Reno, right?
Yeah, but it's about Reno 911 is a city. And you named the movie after the specific address of the house.
Yeah,
and you said
that's
where
it takes place.
But the clicker's not there.
It is not there yet. It wants to get there. It's like Harold and Kumar go to where? White Castle.
Stop naming other movies, trying to shoehorn your movie in. Because so far it's been about Harold and Kumar, Aladdin King, and Aladdin and Lion King.
Right.
You know?
Yes. So those are the things that they're about. And then there's songs about it. And when you make the musical, you first do off-Broadway. And then if the reviews are good, you move to Broadway. And then you sell the movie rights.
What theater are you going to go to off-Broadway for this?
There's a black box on St. Mark's and 3rd.
It better be a black box.
And it's actually a really interesting space.
Really?
Yeah.
They let you do some experimental shit? And that's exactly what this is. Who plays the clicker?
I mean, there's the dream casting role, and then there's the person who we're probably going to settle for.
Let's hear both.
James Earl Jones.
Yep, and you settle for?
My cousin.
Your cousin who?
Sagi.
Sagi.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the end, I think James Earl Jones would probably pass.
So then I'll send a WhatsApp over to my cousin.
And who's the moon?
There's obviously the dream. Who? And then there's the end up, who will probably get.
So there's the dream and Sagi. Because I feel like Sagi ends up playing every single part here.
No, because I'll be playing the house.
So you know that you're the settle.
Matthew Broderick, by the way, if you're interested, who is a Tony Award winner,
and he
is the dream guest.
Yes, who do you settle for?
And you haven't won any award.
Yes, of course I haven't won a Tony.
Yes, you
don't
haven't.
Try to make me feel bad like I've tried to win a Tony.
Everybody's trying, but Broderick actually took home the hardware. And the fact that he's even considered is kind of a cool
thing.
Has
he considered?
He hasn't considered.
You haven't even you haven't even written the play yet.
Yeah, I'm saying
nothing for him to consider at the moment.
In the last, let's say we've been talking about it for 15 minutes, which feels like it's been a lifetime, but it went really fast to me. I wrote probably half the songs.
No way. You did not.
Between your like,
you're
trying to catch me in like this corner where I didn't figure something out.
Fine, give me one more song.
One more song.
You wrote half the songs.
Yeah. So you know in Lion King, there's Hakuna Matata, which is kind of like a fun little...
I feel like you need to get away from Lion King because you end up like... I just know that there's going to be the words Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Dintata.
Why?
It's a wonderful gaze.
This is a parody of Lion King.
No, it's not. Every musical harkens back to the one that came right before it.
This one doesn't harken to anything. You said Hakuna.
What's the most recent musical you've seen?
Moana.
And how was it?
Great.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
You know why? Because it was written by a competent motherfucker who could figure shit out.
Yeah. Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote all the songs. So
really?
They were amazing.
Fuck.
And you, meanwhile, just pitched me a song that went Hakuna.
I thought Moana was written by some guy like me, like a scrappy upstart who figured it out on the day.
So you are admitting that you're going to figure it out on the day, even when you're in the black box and you've got Sagi standing across from you dressed as a clicker, Matthew Broderick in the rafters.
This is kind of cool.
As the moon.
Yeah, I'm imagining a pretty cool
thing.
And
you're the fucking house.
That's awesome, yeah.
And you don't know any lines, and they don't know any lines, and you haven't told them any of the songs.
Yeah, but I can, like...
And you say Hakuna Dentata.
Hakuna Dentata.
Dentata.
What a wonderful gaze. Yeah.
What is Dentata?
Dentata means gaze. And Hakuna is wonderful.
I don't believe you when you say Dentata means gaze.
A lot of the...
Also, yeah. Hakuna means... No worries for the rest of your days.
But I think they made that up, right?
This is the first time this entire conversation where I don't know if I'm right or wrong.
And yeah, that's actually a really good indication of like how this entire conversation has gone for me.
Really?
Yeah, because like a lot of the times I was, believe it or not, pulling answers out of my ass.
I do believe it. Yeah. It made a lot of sense.
It seemed like I was confident. I knew every single thing I was going to say.
You were overconfident, I'll say that.
But I was legit improvising. Like, I hadn't even thought of the musical when we started this episode.
So you hadn't thought of all of the songs? And when you said you thought of half the songs and I asked you to sing another one?
That was a lie. I lied to you. And I was trying to, like, I thought you'd be like, how the fuck did you come up with that on the spot?
You thought that I wouldn't ask. You thought that I would just be like, oh, man, that's awesome. I can't believe how many songs you're coming
up with. Right, and then I'm like, guess what? I just thought of them right now.
And then I would be like, that's incredible.
How did you do that?
Like, what's the – and you have the end of your movie, and you'd be like, yeah, I just thought of that.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, awesome.
Yeah.
You thought I would just be impressed and not really try to like
– Impressed. That's exactly the word that I was wanting. Yeah. I thought you'd be impressed.
So me saying something like, I'm really impressed by you, Blumenfeld. Good work on this, buddy. That's
actually really good. I might grab that soundbite and use it at the top.
I thought you might. Yeah. Just like kind of sprinkle it throughout.
Say that again.
I don't want to anymore. Right. I feel like if you can't find that one soundbite and edit it in. I gave it to you super clean.
Yeah. I was just afraid that like, because I'm holding a LaCroix and like some of that tab will come in.
That's
when you were doing it.
I feel like at the end of the day, that is fine.
Because you said it.
I did say it. Into my mic specifically.
I can isolate the level on yours.
Yeah.
And then you can have it. So I'll be like, I thought of a musical. Because remember the theme song that started this whole thing? The Whole New World thing?
That was awesome.
So I might edit it to be like, I'm coming up with a musical too. That's easy. And then you'll say it again.
That's awesome, Blumenfeld. I'm really proud of you, bud.
I'm impressed.
I'm impressed by you, bud. Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm impressed, Blumenfeld. That's really awesome.
Give me direction on it. I'm not going to say it again.
All right, cool. That's really cool. It's time for a break.
Wow.
Yeah, we haven't answered any questions.
I forgot that we have a podcast.
Yeah, it's called If I Were You. It's the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
We're going to thank some sponsors. Be right back with many questions right after this.
Peace.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah. You put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code SEGMENTS.
SEGMENTS.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very exciting.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022. Mm-hmm.
You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app
That
finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what? You saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month?
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, okay. Quasi-legal,
no,
kind
no.
of dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money me. Found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Oh, yeah.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back. Hey, Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson in the fight. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. What a stinger.
I love it.
I do. I have some unsolicited advice.
What is it?
In the last year,
uh-huh.
I have been getting the best night's sleep of my life.
And you owe it all to NyQuil. I take four pills a night.
Drinking myself into a drunken stupor and passing out on my lawn.
What is it?
Sleeping mask.
A sleeping mask.
Or a sleep mask. Or a night mask. Or something.
A specific kind? Do you just steal one from an airplane or you buy like the legit ones from
That's
Amazon?
How it started. I had one. I think it was actually from our Air New Zealand flight. And I was sleeping somewhere where there was just like no shades, a lot of light coming in.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I've got this like sleeping mask in my backpack. I'm going to give that a shot.
Uh-huh.
And I like slept through the morning and I slept very soundly. And then I just slowly sort of started experimenting. Like maybe even in my room at home where I like have shades and it's dark enough, like I'll just sleep better. And it's true. Like I sleep.
My question is,
I sleep through the night like 90% better than I used to.
My question is, when you go to sleep, it's already dark out. So why does the night mask help?
It makes it pitch. It makes it really black.
So like the darkness of your room is not dark enough to fall asleep? Or is it about the morning when it gets brighter in there?
For me, I think it's both. I think there's like moonlight can come on. Or moonlight doesn't come on.
Moonlight, obviously. Yeah. That actually reminds me of another song in my play.
Oh, really?
We'll go ahead. So the moonlight creeps in sometimes, and that prevents you from going to sleep?
Well, like, you know how if you lie in your bed, if you turn off the lights, your eyes sort of slowly adjust, and your whole room looks a little like blue-gray. Like
yeah, your pupils grow, and it lets the small amount of lights in.
Right. So the sleeping mask prevents even that. So like, I don't know, I just sleep better through the night when I wear the mask. I think it's because of the darkness, but maybe it's just because of like of the nice pressure on my head too.
Yeah, you start to get used to it. Because I tried a sleeping mask once and it was like, it felt like someone was like pushing against my head and in the back of my head and I didn't like it.
I keep my strap pretty loose, and they also make sleeping masks where they have like
strapless.
They make like
like two loose cucumbers.
Raised eye areas for them so it doesn't feel like anyone's pressing on your eyes.
What about like little suction cups? So you look at it and go, and then it goes over one eyeball and over another. So your eyelids are open, but the eyes are getting moisture and the opacity of the stickies is greater than that of your eyelids.
Oh, so it's like contacts that are just pitch black? Interesting.
Would you be curious to try that?
I guess no.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I don't think so.
Because it's not
at
very
all.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
What about earplugs?
No, I never fuck with earplugs.
What about white noise?
I never fucked with that either.
So you're purely like a visual darkness kind of guy.
Yeah, maybe I have like a light sensitivity. I definitely wake up with the light, and usually I can like toss and turn and like fall back to sleep for like 15, 20 minutes here and there. But with the eye mask, I just sleep full nights all the way through. No, not, I don't even get up to pee anymore.
Are you a little disoriented when you wake up like at 8 a.m. and then you like, oh, it's still pitch black, and then you lift up your thing to see what time it is?
Sometimes,
and you lift it up, you don't know if it's dark yet or if it's light out or yet.
I'll set my alarm, and then like when it goes off, I press snooze, but I remove my eye mask and I sort of let myself like slowly wake up and take in the light.
I see.
But yeah, it wouldn't be super easy to go from like alarm, wake, eye mask off, straight into the bathroom. But I'm also trying another piece of advice that I have is just that I'm trying to get up earlier.
What is that about?
I guess I feel like we've been busy lately. So if I like set my alarm for 7 and I like get my breakfast and get coffee then and start answering, like just try to answer emails before work starts, I just feel like I'm more productive with my day.
Are you going to sleep earlier?
Yeah, I guess I've been going to bed like 11, getting up at 7. That's a plenty of sleep.
Yeah. And what were you doing before?
Before I was going to bed closer to midnight, waking up at like
10:30, 11, getting your 11 hours in.
I would like go to bed at midnight, wake up at like 8:30, almost 9, and then like rush through the morning, try to get to the work, fighting rush hour.
Oh, interesting. So this was self-imposed. You're going to be like, I'm getting up at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And so far, so good.
Yeah, but it hasn't been that long.
What about the weekend?
Weekend, I'm going to put the eye mask on and just let myself go, baby.
41 hours straight. Motherfucker.
Yeah, eye mask will improve your sleep, and goddamn, sleep good.
All right, there you have it. Eye mask. Should we get to a fucking question, for Christ's sake?
I want to talk more about your film.
Oh, the musical that I'm writing.
Yeah. Well, I thought you already wrote it.
Exactly right. I actually wrote it right in front of your very eyes. No, we got to answer some questions. Otherwise, people are going to yell at me. All right, ready?
Yeah.
This one is written by a lady. Let's call her Chrysanthemum.
Okay.
She's the female lead in my play about a house.
Nice.
Recently, my boyfriend of 5 years was helping me fill out this online form, and it asked when I was born. He asked me when my birthday is, and as I give him a strange look, assuming he's joking, he insists and says, July 5th? And I said, no, July 20th. I ask him whose birthday he's thinking of, and he says it's his brother's. Well, cut to 2 months later, and he asks if I want to meet his family for dinner to celebrate his brother's birthday. I told him that he told me his brother's birthday was on July 5th, not September 12th. And he said he got confused and said his friend's birthday is actually July 5th. The point of all this is that months ago, I checked out his ex-girlfriend's profile on Facebook for the hell of it.
For the hell of it.
And it said her birthday was exactly right, July 5th.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Is he actually remembering his ex's birthday still after we've been together for 5 years? And he couldn't seem to remember mine? Also, I went to his friend's Facebook page to see if the matching if there was matching birthdays were a coincidence, but he didn't have his birthday listed. His ex and him and used to be married for a few years, but it ended badly in her cheating in a big divorce. And he says that he hates her guts, but I don't know. I just find the whole situation odd. What would you two dudes make of it? Love, Chrysanthemum.
Man, Chrysanthemum.
She went snooping. Do you remember your ex-girlfriend's birthdays?
Yeah.
All of them?
No, not all of them.
All of them?
Not all of them.
Start listing them off.
Sure. Goddamn, I couldn't even come up with a fake name fast.
Nancy's was February 29th. She was a leap year baby.
But yeah, no, I remember... I think I could remember most of them. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're ingrained. They, you don't, they're so important that, like, if you're a formative youth, and this guy was married to his girlfriend, you better believe he's remembering the birthday.
I feel like the problem lies not in that he remembers it, even though she sort of makes it like, why is he remembering?
Yeah, how dare like, he
you
remember?
Can't fuck with a memory. But she's like, what he really did was not know hers and replace it with the ex. It's like akin to calling out her name, his ex's name in bed.
Yeah.
Which that's, is, I mean, of course, this is not a big deal.
It's like, an honest mistake.
And once he got, like, once he found out, like, when you were like, why do you think it's July 5th? Like, of course he's going to lie. He did the right thing when he lied about
it. He was afraid that you'd go snooping.
He was afraid that you'd do have exactly this reaction.
I also like when she's like, when I went to see if it was a coincidence, his birthday wasn't listed. So you didn't find out.
It still could be July 5th.
Yeah, like your friend, your boyfriend knows his birthday even if it's unlisted.
But also, this is like the kind of rare question where we know the truth. He confused it with his ex-wife's.
Yeah, not even ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, and he thought it was yours. And that's too bad, but it's definitely fine.
Yeah.
It is 100% fine.
It's like, more fine than realizing that there was a day in his life where he swore to God he would be with another woman forever because he loved her so much. That's what would eat away at me, not the birthday thing.
I mean, this guy's been through some shit, though, too. Like, a messy divorce with his wife cheating on him. And then she's going to come at him and be like, you didn't forget her birthday? It's like, I can't forget her birthday! Wah! Wah!
He's de-aging before her very eyes.
Wah! He turns into a baby.
I guess it's harder because his wife cheated on him, so you can be like, oh, he's still obsessed with her. In his perfect world,
they're still
married. But the wife, by the way, who cheated on him, opened up the possibilities for you guys to be together.
Yeah.
So if anything, you owe this wife, you should celebrate her birthday. It's a monumental occasion for
him. That's your new anniversary.
Yeah, whether you like it or not, July 5th is not only your anniversary, but is your birthday. You have to take your boyfriend's ex-wife's birthday.
That's fair. You write into our podcast, we give you a new birthday.
You think it's misogynistic to take your husband's name? How about taking his ex-wife's frickin' birthday?
How's that for archaic?
Birth year, too. That's right. You're a different age of yourself now.
You're the new wife.
And her name, too, if you keep writing in. Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. And stop snooping on her frickin' Facebook page.
That's fine. You can do that, though.
Okay, that's fine. You can do that, though. All right, here's another one. Ooh, this one's also marriage-related.
Nice.
And about ex-girlfriends. Oh. It's a good theme. This guy, we'll call him Garagio.
Nice, after the garage character in your movie.
The moon character. That's kind of an ironic twist.
It's not an ironic twist if you just take what I say, flip it around just so you can make me wrong and seem interesting.
Well,
it's not ironic, it's small.
We'll see. Garagio, the moon, writes, I'm going to marry the woman of my dreams in 3 months, and I'm so excited I cannot wait to spend the rest of my life with her. However, recently I've been reminded of an ex-girlfriend and realized how terribly I treated her. There was a few years ago, and I can't stop feeling shitty about it. I want to reach out and ask for forgiveness for her, but fear this might be crossing a thin line. Is it okay to reach out to someone from your past in order to ask for forgiveness for the way you treated them? I don't even care if she replies. I just think the act of asking would relieve some guilt I feel. I feel like if I feel like if changed and grown a lot in the last years, I've grown and changed a lot, he should say. I'm totally in love with my fiance. I just feel as though this guilt could manifest as a dark cloud in my conscience and keep me from being the best husband I could be to her. Thanks. Love you guys. P.S. Will you be coming back to D.C.? Love, Garagio the Moon. Garagio.
I'd like to go back to D.C. I miss D.C.
That was a good show. This is weird, right? He wants to ask for forgiveness, but feels like it is kind of weirdly cheating because it's like he's reaching out to an ex so that she likes him more.
Is that... I didn't get that that's why he was asking if it was okay.
What else is it?
I mean, I guess I personally am just like... If you mistreated this person, you want her forgiveness so you can feel better. All of this stuff is about him. It's all me.
I don't even care if she responds.
Yeah, I was mean and now I'm nice. So I want your forgiveness so I can move on with my life. Like, what if that's like one more mean thing that you're going to do to her?
Like, although, what if she's like,
if he was mean and then she like got away from him, they broke up, and now she's moving on with her life, and then he just like comes barging back in. He's like, can I have forgiveness before I get married? Thanks.
Or the other way to think of it is if a lady was really mean to you for years, and you're like, wow, that person is really mean. And then she reached out to you in 4 years and was like, by the way, I'm really sorry for how terribly I treated you. It was my fault. Wouldn't you feel a little bit better?
Maybe so. But I wonder, though, like, I think that that's like a more... I think that if you want to apologize just because you think it would make her feel better.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to just say, like, if you're not looking for forgiveness, you're looking to just tell that person that you're sorry.
Yeah.
If you're looking to apologize, then that's a little more palatable to me than for being like, I just want this person's forgiveness before I move on.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You don't,
are those two different things? Can you apologize without asking for forgiveness?
Yes, and I think that's the way you should always apologize.
If you say I'm sorry, I always thought that was asking for forgiveness, but it's not. No. You have to say I'm sorry. And I'm asking you for forgiveness.
Yeah. I mean, usually you...
I want
say,
you to forgive.
Will you forgive me if, like, you need something out of that person?
Right. So sorry is one way. Forgiveness is when it comes back to you.
What you need to do is offer an unqualified apology. But then I also think if you're only worried about, like, your dark past manifesting in your current relationship, that you're at least being, like, self-reflective enough to... Like, to just be a good guy to your wife moving forward, and you don't necessarily have to, like, reach out to everybody who
you wronged in the past.
When you were young and, like, didn't know how relationships worked.
Do you tell the wife? Or is it best that she doesn't know that you're asking for forgiveness from an ex-lover that you treated poorly?
Oh, I'd definitely lie about that.
What?
I would definitely not tell nobody about doing that.
Yeah. Man. Oh, no. Put it in my closet of other secrets and lies.
I hide that shit from my loved ones. They can't know that about me. No.
Yeah, who are you?
I need to look good in their eyes.
I was a nasty little Cajun boy.
That's right.
And I need forgiveness, please.
Oh, no. I like to be held in high regard by those of I know they love me.
I cannot put a sleep mask over my heart and let the light turn off so that I can sleep easy.
Oh, I don't think so.
I will not get a non-fitful night rest for the past transgressions that I have not received forgiveness for. The demons, they do attack me in my sleep and while I'm awake.
Otherwise, you wouldn't call me Garagio.
Ow! That's how my movie ends.
Nice. I actually like it now.
So you're saying if they do it, don't tell your lady.
Yeah. And I also don't think you should do it for forgiveness, but instead do it for that person's solace while thinking about it and asking yourself if they really need solace from you or if they moved on and are happy and you're just doing it for yourself.
Is this what that song, Is It Too Late Now to Say Sorry, means?
Well, I think he's trying to win that person back because he says, I miss more than just your body.
That's good. He missed your tits, too.
That's part of the body.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
I always assumed it was two different things.
I thought the heart was actually akin to a tit.
Single tit per heart, one for one.
So when I tell someone I miss their kind heart, I'm talking about their rack.
Afrack. All right, that was it. Two questions, but I think we really got into the meat of it. We discussed your sleeping mask for way too long.
Yeah, that was definitely the meat of the podcast.
Really
there.
Burned a lot of minutes on the day.
Fair.
But if you feel shortchanged, we actually posted a bonus Thursday episode last week, which was our Vancouver show with Thomas Middleditch.
Correct.
So go check that out for some more yuck yucks.
And hey, don't forget to buy a ticket to see us in Amsterdam.
June 4th.
And Dublin.
June 10th.
June 10th.
Yeah.
And you can't see us in London if you don't have a ticket anymore.
That's right. We sold out.
Sold out.
That was our fastest selling show. It's going to be a freaking party festival.
Yeah. So actually call the Leicester?
Leicester.
Leicester?
Leicester. Leicestershire? Leicestershire?
Whatever it is, call the theater and demand that they release more tickets so you can sit on the floor and we have a fucking rage fest.
Say, I'll pay £1,000 even if I can sit on the stage facing away from Jake and Amir.
Or just fly to Dublin like we're going to do after the London show.
How much can it be? It's like a, what, $30 Ryanair quick jaunt up to Dublin town.
Yeah.
Spend the weekend getting to know your Irish neighbors and come to our show on Sunday, June 10th.
Yeah, but fly in on Saturday because I'm going to be raging my ass off at Coppers.
Oh, it's been a minute.
It's been a year and a half.
We go there and it's just a brunch restaurant now.
No!
I'm still getting it trashed.
What happened to Coppers, man?
Oh, Coppers hasn't been here in 55 years.
Turns out I burned it down.
Oh, that's quite right. All right. Thank you for everyone who's mailing in your theme song submissions, your questions, and your podcast art.
Let's get some good ones.
Podcast art. We're looking for new podcast art. Send them all to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song, again, was written, The Whole New Gourd, by Cam Aladdin. Sorry. Let me look it up. Right. Aladdin. Cam and Tom. And this closing one was written by Cullen. So thanks, Cam and Tom. Thanks, Cullen. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Ciao.
Peace.
Living in this moment. Never understand. While we're living in slow motion. Sometimes I need a hand. So I call my brother Jake here. And Amir here. Living in this undecided world, don't know what to do. And it's hard to answer that question. Gotta say, if I were you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Laitman of Exploration
And why
Live.
Don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the show or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live and we'll see you there.
All right. Bye.